thank you, Community Baptist, for allowing us to be here. It's a great privilege for Sandy and I to be with you folks again. It's a great privilege to have had Pastor Mike, with us there in Nicaragua a couple weeks ago, so he can get a firsthand look of what God's been doing through the ministry there in Nicaragua. And it's through the prayers and support of many faithful people, many faithful churches, that has allowed us to be able to do what we have been doing and to carry on with a fervency in our heart to see, as Pastor Mike said, Nicaraguans come to Christ. I want to I don't know if I want to use the word preaching or not, but I just want to just share my heart this morning. Because you see, the song that the choir sang today, it brought back so many memories. As nearly 20 years, the music pastor at Battlefield Baptist Church here in Northern Virginia, during our missions revival on Sunday morning, that was the song that we would sing as a choir. That was the song that God kept using in my heart to impress upon us to always be mindful of missions. Not only worldwide missions, but missions nearby, near home missions, missions there in our area of Warrenton, Virginia, missions in Manassas, missions in Centerville, missions in the areas around us, surrounding us, and missions around the world. And even though we had served the Lord for a little over 5 years in Honduras before coming to Battlefield, God kept using that and prompting that song in my heart not to forget missions. And in that, one of the things that we used to do at the close, because whether Brother El Sock remembers or not, Mrs. Skinner was flamboyant. But she encouraged me on this particular song. In our missions revival there at Battlefield, we always started Wednesday night with a parade of flags, and it was done by the teens, and they would bring in, dressed in international costumes, the flags representing those costumes. And one year, I said, you know, let's do it with that song also. And so when we got to the final chorus, the teens would walk from the back, carrying the international flags, dressed in international costumes, as it was sung, "Go Reach the World." And even though we practiced it, the impact of that did not hit me until we actually did it on that Sunday morning of that particular missions revival. And once again, God spoke to my heart of not only reaching the world, but not losing that vision of missions. Amazing thing that happened with Sandy and I was, even though we had been nearly 20 years from Honduras, God preserved our Spanish. Insomuch that when we got to Nicaragua, we hit the ground running and we could already communicate, we could already speak, preach, talk, just witness to folks in Spanish. Los que pueden entenderme, levanten su mano si entienden español. Amén, amén, amén. Entonces, ¿está bien predicarlo en español esta mañana? Excelente. I'm sorry, folks, we'll have to make this biblical. I asked those that understand me, could you raise your hand? And there was a few folks over here. And then I said, would it be okay if I just preached in Spanish this morning? And they said, that would be excellent. So, I'm not trying to divert here, but what I wanted to share with you is something that God used to speak to my heart in an additional way, not only through music, but also through this passage in which I want us to look at this morning in Matthew 25. I shared a little bit of it with the teens this morning, but I want to share with you all today that every one of us, even though we've heard many, many times, and I know Community Baptist is a missions-minded church, that is very evident. That is to your credit. That is something which could be equated to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 8 about the church at Rome, that their faith was known throughout the whole world. Oh, a testimony of a church like Community Baptist that your mission's heart is known throughout the world. That would be excellent, wouldn't it? That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Okay? That you as a church, unite together. As Paul states, even to the church at Philippi in Philippians 1:27, that he said, first of all, I want you, this church, to be people that live, that conduct yourselves, that your behavior is that which is worthy or that is benefiting the gospel. But he said, even if I don't come and visit you, there's two other things I would love to hear about you. That one, you stay united in mind and spirit. But lastly, that you stay together in striving for the faith of the gospel. What a testimony of a church. What a testimony of Community Baptist Church that you're not only united in spirit and in mind in the direction that God is leading the church, but that you continually strive for the faith of the gospel. That is not only here in South Riding, but Centerville and other areas around you, but around the world, you are striving. Now, the English word there is striving, but in Spanish they use the word combatiendo, which means to fight. That no matter what opposition that arises, you stay in the fight. You don't give up. You keep on pressing. You keep on fighting. You don't let anything cause you to quit. What a unified body would that be? But I believe that it starts, though, in understanding that it's this unity of walking together begins with what Jesus brings to the attention of the people of His day and to us this morning. In Matthew 25, we're going to read two verses, 14 and 15, where it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey." Let's pray. Father, we praise you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who were here. Thank you, Father, for the great opportunity to be in your house. Oh, Lord, how the music has blessed my heart, and I trust it has others. I also trust, Lord, that their hearts now are prepared through the music that we have sung to hear your word. That their minds are now concentrated on you. And that, Lord, if those at this moment that are still thinking about other things, Father, at this moment, help them to put that all aside. Not because I feel I'm important, but because, Father, your word is important for us this morning. And that, Father, we need to devote our attention to you. We need to concentrate at this moment on what your word has to say. We need to have our hearts open to receive your word so that, Lord, we can not only understand the truth, but also be able to put it in practice. And so, Lord, today I pray that you would use me as a vessel, that you'd flow through me and that your words would be spoken. And Lord, I also pray that you would empower me. I do not want to do this in my own wisdom nor strength. And Father, we commit the results to you because it is you who is in control. And we'll give you the praise and glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Sandy and I, as I said, were working at Battlefield Baptist Church. And it was a missions trip in 2014 that God used to redirect our lives. But for us, this journey, as Brother DeLuca mentioned in his video, started for us over 30 years ago. When we went forward on a Sunday night at Calvary Independent Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we said, "Lord, we'll go where you want us to go. We'll do what you want us to do. We won't ask questions. If this is where you want us to go, we'll do that." And that's been our heart's desire ever since. Understanding that God has imparted to us certain abilities, certain talents, certain gifts. And those certain abilities and talents and gifts need to be used for His kingdom. That those things that He has imparted to us need to be used so that His kingdom can multiply. Those things that He has given us has been given so that we as individuals can be, as Paul stated in Romans 6:13, instruments of righteousness. That we yield ourselves, surrender, a continual daily surrender of yielding ourselves to this is what God wants us to do. And so though may our journey not be what we initially wanted it to be, for when we went to Honduras as missionaries, we were there for our rest of our lives. And praise the Lord, he used this to start a church and also to help others that were in the area. And that church is there today. And it's a wonderful story that I'm not going to go into right now. But that church is still there today. It started three other churches on its own. And the wonderful part of it is this. But when we came back to the States in 1995, that church continued on without any other missionary help. And the young man that is the pastor today was 8 years old when we started in his family's house. He's now pastoring. You see, if we can first of all understand as we strive for the faith of the gospel, as we continue to work, not only as a cooperative group here at Community Baptist, but as individuals, we begin to understand certain things about what God has given us. It then makes it more easy to complete what He has asked us to do, to go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Or, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. You have the first one in Matthew 28:19-20, Mark 16:15, the second one. Luke 24:47 said that the gospel should preach unto all the nations. But my favorite is John 20:21. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. As God sent Christ into the world for us, in the same like manner He wants us to go. And understanding, as Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, both heaven and earth. He said, therefore, in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the most parts of the earth. And it's understanding that every one of us have that ability. Every one of us have that capability. And it was these two verses, after taking the missions trip, well, actually, before we took the missions trip in 2014, God started to use to work on my heart. And He asked me a question. What are you doing with all that I've been giving you? What are you doing with everything that I have capacitated you to do? And I remember sitting in our room of our home with Sandy and our son Joshua and explained to them, I don't know exactly what God has in store for us, but my heart's burdened to take what God has given me and given us and multiply it even more. And when we took the trip in September 2014, the plane landed in Managua. We got on the van to go from the airport to the hotel. And I looked around, and Sandy was next to me. And I looked around, and I said, I'm home. And I leaned over to her, and I probably scared her. But I leaned next to her, and I said, I'm home. Just like that, God revealed, brother, you asked this morning in teens, how do you know? At that instant, I knew. God gave me a peace in my heart. And He said, this is where I want you to continue to serve. So I want to bring this to your attention here this morning. Just a few truths out of Matthew 25:14-15. That first of all, God knows who you are. It says here in verse 14 that a man, a lord, or a man of authority called his own servants. He knows who you are. And I know that's not a great truth. But what I want you to understand is, it doesn't matter if you're going to Chapel Hill or Greece or even across the street to the person that lives next to you, or in your apartment building where you may live. God knows who you are and that you are the individual that He has placed at that particular place and at that particular moment so that you can use what He's given you for His kingdom. He knows who you are. And not only does He know who you are, but the second thing is He has imparted to you His goods. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, Psalms 24:1, right? Okay. But we seem to forget that even the talents that we were given at birth or the spiritual gifts that we have that were given to us at the moment of salvation, these were imparted to us by God, not by anything that we ourselves are able or have conjured of our own ability. These are things, because if we truly, actually, and honestly believe that we are God's, as 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, what, know you not that your body is the Spirit of the Holy Ghost? Okay, and verse 20 says that you've been bought with the price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So if we actually believe that, and we've taught it, we've preached it, if we actually accept it, then we have to also actually accept and believe that everything that I have, everything that I'm capable of doing, did not originate with me. It originated with God. Therefore, He imparted to me His goods. What you're able and capable of doing, you first received it from the Lord because He knows who you are. He knows exactly what you have. He knows exactly the people that you're going to come in contact with. He knows exactly the individuals in whose life you can touch. He knows exactly the best way to use you in order to reach these dear folks. But now, even though this seems simple, here's where I want us to understand. He not only knows us, and everything that we have was given to us by Him. But verse 15 even makes it more clear. One received five, another two, another received one. But, what's it say? To every man according to his ability. Now, I know for us it'd be real easy to say, if we had three people up here and gave one, you know, $200, another $100, and another only a dollar, it would be easy for one to say, well, why does he get 200? Why don't they all get 200? And that's the society we live in today, right? That everybody should be equal. Everybody should get the same amount. Everybody should be able to work on the same plane. Okay? But this one received 200, this one 100, and this one only a dollar. It'd be easy for the dollar one to say, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm just as worthy as he is. I have just as much capability as he is, that he has. Hey, in fact, I do more in this church than this person. Why do they get more than me? And the person that receives 200 could say, whoa, dudes, look at me. Look what I got. Losers. But if we go back to our original points, God knows who you are and that He has given everything that you have, then He also knows what your ability is to use what He's given you. And therefore, it is not for us to compare amongst us. The question is, what are you doing what God has enabled you to multiply for His kingdom? What are you doing at this moment? What are you doing financially? What are you doing spiritually? What are you doing emotionally? What are you doing with every aspect of your, every area of your life to use what God has capacitated you? And that's the other word I love here. Here in English it says ability, but in Spanish it says capacity. That you have the capacity to multiply these. You have the ability to take these talents, these spiritual gifts, and use them to multiply for God's glory. But the question is, what are you doing with it? Therefore, it's not for us to say, oh Lord, I don't think I can do this. Oh, Lord, you picked the wrong person for this one. I know Moses tried that, didn't he? He said, no, Lord, you got the wrong guy. I can't speak. My tongue doesn't work. Other individuals in life have tried to make excuses for not doing what God's asked them to do. But let me encourage you not to do that. Why? Look with me in Romans chapter 11. In verse 33 says, oh, the depths of the riches, both the what? Wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Oh, the depths of the riches. God is not mistaken that you can do certain things in this church. God is not mistaken that you have the capability of teaching a Sunday school class. God is not mistaken that you have the capability of increasing what you God's laid on your heart for faith promise. God is not mistaken that you can do a certain ministry here. Why? Because the depths of His wisdom, the depths of His knowledge are beyond what we can even fathom and to understand. Why would God choose a music major to be a missionary? Not just in undergraduate, but graduate work in music. Why would God choose a music major to be a missionary? Because His depths of His wisdom are beyond my capacity to understand. Why would God choose someone I was over 50, Brother Luca, when God directed us back to the mission field. We were on track at Battlefield Baptist Church, thinking 15 years in the future for retirement. Pastor Skinner says, you need to start thinking that way, son. You need to start preparing and so forth. But by all standards, we were right on track. But when we landed, that was not a consideration. Not once did it enter my mind, well, wait a minute, you're going off the retirement track here. Not once did it enter my mind that, okay, let us finish the 15 years, Lord, and then we'll go to the mission field. That's like the individual in Luke chapter 9, that when Jesus, He said, I'll follow you, verses 61, 62. And He said, but let me bid them farewell at my house first. Or the other man in verses 59 and 60. Let me bury my father first. No, that did not even come up in consideration. Why? Because I promised God over 30 years ago, I'd go where He wanted me to go, do what He wanted us to do, and not ask questions. Why? Because He revealed again in my heart, and revealed again in Sandy's heart, that what He's given us needs to be used to multiply for His kingdom. You may have been struggling with a certain aspect of your life about whether or not God is asking you to do something or not. Understand, first of all, if He's asking, He knows you can do it. I'll say that again. If He's asking, He already knows you can do it. He's not asking you to do something that He's not already given you the ability and the capability to do it. He's not trying to lead you in a direction for failure. Right? God doesn't set His children up for failure. Even though Paul says in Philippians 3 and 13, 14, that He's not counted Himself to have achieved. But He said, this one thing I do. I forget those things which are in the past. So if you don't allow the past to influence future decisions, But he says, then I press toward the mark. I reach with all my efforts. I extend myself forward, reaching for that goal that I see ahead and giving my all because God has given me the ability, the capability to accomplish that. And without question, I move forward. You may be struggling or you may feel like that you're struggling economically, emotionally, physically. But if God's laying on your heart to do something, He wouldn't be asking if He didn't already have you with all that you need to do it. So brother, no, don't say that missionaries are... No. You see, all of us are equal servants. Because the Master has given to each and every one of us, according to our ability, that which is needed to multiply for His kingdom. And the question is, what are you doing with it? And I'm not going to get into the other aspects of this parable that Jesus was teaching, because I want us to concentrate on that phrase, every man according to his ability. And I want to leave this with you this morning. When we arrived in Nicaragua, in the little town of Matiari, our first desire was to get to know the people. The language was yes, there were certain things we needed to learn. Because in Nicaragua, there are certain phrases that they use to express something that they don't use in Honduras. Okay? That's the way it is in English. I mean, okay? Northern part of the states says one thing. Down in the south, they say something else, right? Is that true? Yep. Okay. Well, it's no different in Central America. It's no different in the Spanish-speaking world. There are certain words that they use in Honduras that in Nicaragua, no, we don't say that here. Okay? So, yes, we had to adjust to that. But one of the things that we also learned quickly was that we were with a group of people that opened their arms and their hearts to us immediately. And I know most mission fields that's not the same. That's not the way it is. And when God provided a place for us to live, the landlord, wonderful Christian man, at that time he wasn't walking with the Lord. We had lived in the house for a very short time, and I approached him one day and I said, would it be all right with you if I started inviting folks to come here and to hold a Bible study? He goes, why a Bible study? I said, well, so that people can hear about the Lord and hear about Jesus. He goes, no, you misunderstand me. Why a Bible study? Why not just have a church service? I said, that's even better. And so on December 20th of 2015, we had the first service of Iglesia Bautista Palabra de Vida, or Word of Life Baptist Church. And from that moment on, it has just continued to grow. Brother Elstock was there in 2016, saw the little house that we met in. Can you believe we've had up to 144 people in that house? Okay. We've seen people baptized and saved and baptized, weddings, baby dedications. I mean, it was amazing to Sandy and I to see what all God has been doing. And in April of this year, we broke ground for a new church building. And on August the 6th of this year, we had our first dedication service in that building in which we had over 200 people in attendance. I say all that for this. First of all, to God be the glory, great things He has done. It's not Sandy and Brian that's done the work. But Once you understand that He knows who you are, He's imparted to you what you have to use for His glory. And He's given you the ability to do it. You're going to have to take a risk to watch it multiply. The guy that took the 5 talents and it multiplied 5 more, so now he's got 10. He didn't put those 5 talents in his pocket and they just magically multiplied, did they? In fact, at the end of this, the Lord tells the servant who buried his 1 talent, you could have at least put it in the bank and drawn interest on it. The guy that received 2 and that multiplied to 2 more, now he's got 4. He didn't just put it in his pocket and say, oh, Lord, you're the great giver of all things. You can multiply this too. You can do beyond what I'm able to do myself. And he just kept it in his pocket. You're going to have to take a step of faith. You understand that God knows you. You understand that what you have came from Him. You understand that He has given you the ability to do it. And now He's asking you, take the step. Have you taken that step? Sandy and I left what we felt were the comforts of home, around the children, around the grandchildren, to understand that there needs to be a step by which God can see and use, and it sometimes requires a little bit of a risk by what others may think. And many times, a step of faith that you take will be interpreted or viewed by other folks as a step of foolishness. But guess what? You'll multiply more than you can imagine. And that's where I want to leave with you this morning. Have you taken that step? Have you taken that step? So that God then, beyond what you can imagine or think, can multiply for His kingdom what He's given you. Let's pray.